7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and man, is it hours into the NFL draft.
God, I can't wait.
I am pumped up. I just want to talk football with you guys. I just want to talk about what is going on in football.
So with that being said, we're actually going to go still kind of with the draft, and we're going to kind of go with football as well. I want to talk about prop bets that are coming up for the 2017 NFL draft. So I'm going to first start off with our favorite player, Tom. None other than Joe Mixon.
Woo!
His draft position. There's a ton of websites you guys can go out there, get all these prop bets and everything like that. We're going to start off with this one. Over or under. It's an actual bet that you can make.
I love it. It was 2.5.
Pick number 46.5. Over 46.5, under 46.5. Pick number 46 is the Indianapolis Colts. And then after that is the Baltimore Ravens, followed by the Minnesota Vikings.
It's a great line, just under 2.5.
Yeah, I like that. If I had to bet money on it, it'd be under. I know the Bengals absolutely love this kid. I know the Eagles absolutely love this kid. It was reported today that Joe Mixon is on the Colts board. And you got to think, if you're going best player available, second round, I just listed three teams right there. Joe Mixon's going to be probably best player available on the board for them. If they're truly trying to make their team better, they're going to draft him in the second.
Yeah, let's just go with, you have the Colts at 46. That's that pick right there. Who knows? Buffalo could go with a backup running back with Joe Mixon. Philly is there. New Orleans, yeah. Cincinnati, Carolina, Jets. Not Chicago, but Jacksonville, San Francisco, Cleveland.
Yeah, if the Panthers miss out on Leonard Fournette, don't trade up. Like, Mixon's a good fit there. He's got a strong locker room, and that might be one of the better spots for him, in all honesty.
Yeah, it's all going to depend on how many running backs are taken in the first round. Yep. Let's just say three are taken. Nothing's going to happen.
Let me ask you this. Go ahead. Before we even have you answer with that, there is another prop bet. How many running backs drafted 2.5 over or under?
In the first round?
In the first round.
I will go the over on that one. I'll start with that in the over, and I'll go back to Joe Mixon. The biggest question for me is, if it is the over, so that's three, then the question becomes, are teams going to go with, a guy at work again was asking me now today, who is the best person that no one's talking about in the NFL draft? And I said, you shut up. I'm going to tell you who everyone's talking about, but who is the most talented player who's going to get drafted late? And that's Joe Mixon. The question is, does he get drafted before or after Alvin Kamara and Deonta Foreman? That's the biggest question to me. I read a great story on Deonta Foreman. I don't know if you guys read
about his kid.
Yeah, super sad stuff. It was a couple days back. How his best game last year against
Texas Tech.
Texas Tech. Yeah, he had like three touchdowns and 200 plus yards. Right,
300 yards.
300 yards. Yeah, and it was the day his Deonta Foreman Jr. Passed. So, just an incredible story. He seems like a great guy. Alvin Kamara, obviously not a ton of play, but there's a lot of teams that are high on him. Is a team going to reach on a, I shouldn't say reach for from a talent aspect, but reach from a PR aspect on a guy like Joe Mixon? I truly believe that they will. Josh, I believe it'll be an under on that. I believe a team, guess what, day two, the pressure's off. Day two, they can say, hey, we saw this. He's asked for forgiveness. He had, and I want to say about his settlement, because I know you guys both texted in our little group chat. Oh, see, he settled. And the girl said, oh, we both could have acted differently that day. That is a joke. That is a schmuck move by Joe Mixon and his lawyer. The fact that you're making the girl come out publicly, because that was all included in the settlement. And if you don't believe that, you're out of your goddamn mind, Tom. That was all in the settlement, that in order for her to get paid, she had to come out publicly and say that stuff. The fact that she had to say, after getting punched in the face by a man, those words, it's a joke. And that's why the NFL needs to start implementing and that college football a zero tolerance policy for offenders like this. Sorry. With that said, Joe Mixon's going to go in the second round early.
Going on to another running back, we have Christian McCaffrey. There is an over-under for that, and it is 12.5. Again, ooh, pick number 12 is the Cleveland Browns, and after that, I don't think I have to say the Arizona Cardinals, but then we have the Philadelphia Eagles and the Indianapolis Colts and the Baltimore Ravens and the Washington Redskins. All teams that could possibly need a running back may not be the best fit with Christian McCaffrey, but again, running back possible needy teams.
I will go over. The only team I see there possibly in the under is if the Bengals get frisky and decide to go with a Christian McCaffrey for some reason because they're not happy with either of their running backs. I see no other team in the top 12 going for a Christian McCaffrey.
Most likely, if you're listening to this, you are listening to my mock draft that was released yesterday, and I believe the 49ers are going to trade back and take him at 12. I'm going under. John Lynch absolutely loves him. He will fit in Kyle Shanahan's system. I think it's a great fit in San Francisco, and there is an absolute reason why this kid, Christian McCaffrey, did not test with all the NFL teams that wanted to work him out.
I see a ton of mock drafts now that have actually Christian McCaffrey going to the
Panthers.
I hate
that.
I don't like the fit. I don't like the fit at all. Next, we're going to go to quarterbacks. Draft position of Deshaun Watson. Over or under? 12.5.
Ooh.
Over.
I'm going to go under again on this one. I really think there's going to be two quarterbacks in the top 10. Even if it's not the Bears like I thought in my original my final mock draft, I could see the Buffalo Bills going after a quarterback at 10. They really like this quarterback class, and even the owner's been going to all these workouts watching each of the quarterbacks. Quarterback is the most important position in the NFL, probably the most important position in all pro sports. If you do not have one, you're not going to win. It's plain and simple, and a lot of teams are going to believe that Deshaun Watson's a true winner. He showed that at the college level. He might not have all the physical attributes you want, but he's got all the mental ones you want, and he's shown what he can do on a big stage.
Guys, if Christian McCaffrey and Deshaun Watson are both drafted under 12, I'm going to throw up on draft day.
I can't wait to see you throw up.
Sticking with the quarterbacks, number of quarterbacks drafted in the first round, we have 0 at plus 1,600. Which is ridiculous. It's not going to happen. We have 1 at plus 900. We have 2 at plus 225. We're kind of getting in the realm of possibility here. 3 at plus 110. Pretty much even money for the most part. 4 at plus 300. 5 at plus 160. And then they even have 6 or more, which, please, I do not ever want to think about that.
I like that 2 bet. I love that's what I feel like should be drafted. I feel like, as you know, teams might come to listen. The main thing that I want to, you know, this is the last episode before the draft, you know, starts coming into to fruition here before draft day. Teams talk a lot of nonsense. Put a lot of things out smoke there just screens. To smoke screens. There are two quarterbacks right now that I believe are going to be drafted on day one. That is Mitchell Trubisky. That is Deshaun Watson. I feel like it's 2 is the number, and at plus 225, I might have to take a couple of rubles and throw it down.
If I was putting money, I'd go with 4. Got good odds there. In all honesty, Tim, I really think you're underestimating that fifth-year option that first-round picks get. Getting a quarterback, it's not really super cheap, but it's a lot cheaper than the franchise tag, or a lot cheaper than what quarterbacks are making nowadays. Most of them, when they're getting that new contract, making over $20 million. Andrew Luck just made $25 million. Next year, we're probably going to see Kirk Cousins make close to $27, $28. It's only going to keep going up. You get that fifth-year control of that quarterback, and that's worth a lot of money. And that's a job that's going to save a lot of these GMs' careers.
We hit on Mitchell Trubisky. There's a prop for him. Over or under, pick 12.5.
Under, no doubt.
Yeah, I think he's a lock for top 10. Right now, all the draft community, all the rumors going out saying he's the NFL's favorite quarterback. A lot of times they are right, and they've been reporting that since early December that he was the most team's favorite NFL quarterback.
Let me ask you guys, because there were some rumors a couple weeks ago, and now they've kind of faded off, and people are now rumoring Mitchell Trubisky super early, you know, the Browns tentatively taking him one overall, which I see no chance in hell, but Deshaun Watson being drafted in front of Mitchell Trubisky. Any chance of that happening?
I think there's a chance.
It's possible.
But I really think the Bears like Deshaun Watson.
Oh, my God.
I know you think I'm crazy,
I
Tim,
do. I think you're nuts.
But I really think the Bears like Watson.
You're feeding into smoke screens.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like some teams would go with Deshaun Watson over Mitchell Trubisky. I think one team like that would be the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
That's just the way I'm thinking out loud, I guess.
Tom, you feeding into the Bears taking Deshaun Watson as a top 10 pick, I haven't heard this much propaganda since Nazi Germany in World War II. That it's nonsense. It's not going to happen.
Here's a good one right here. Kind of just hitting on what Tim said. First quarterback selected, Mitchell Trubisky, -250. Deshaun Watson, +225. Patrick Mahomes, +900. Safe to say, I'm going to go with Mitchell Trubisky. But if Mitchell slides past, if he slides to 10, I think we see Deshaun Watson.
I disagree.
If Trubisky is sliding at all, the Browns are going to trade up to get him. And I could see them trading to either 2 or 3 with the Bears and 49ers, either one of those spots. If Trubisky is not taken like at number 2, or if they're really scared that the Niners are going to take him, I see Cleveland trading up. Like, we hear all the smoke, everything right now that they love Trubisky. They got the draft capital to make moves and get the guys they like, and that's what front offices like to do.
The only negative I can think at all about Mitchell Trubisky is when Matt Leinart fell so far after his senior year at USC. He fell. He ended up going 19 or in the early 20s.
Yeah,
right?
It was low.
He went and fell. That could potentially happen to Trubisky. Obviously, two totally different quarterbacks, but
thinking of that, I was actually watching a video of all the quarterback slides in the draft. My favorite one was Brady Quinn, because at the beginning of the draft, his girlfriend was on his arm, and then when he was getting drafted, she was out walking around talking to other people, so that was pretty interesting.
The only other thing I want to add here, I don't know, did you guys see what John Gruden said on passing on Aaron Rodgers?
No.
He was quoted as saying, "Memento of why I was fired. You can see one of the greatest regrets in my lifetime, passing on Aaron Rodgers." I'm sure a lot of the coaches and GMs also feel the same. Rodgers went 19 that year or something like that?
I think it was like 21. No,
21
like
even 21 later?
21 or 24 or something. Two last prop bets. These are probably the best two. Second overall pick. We got Solomon Thomas at +200. Marshawn Lattimore at +750. Mitchell Trubisky at +300. Miles Garrett at +1,000. Jonathan Allen at +1,200, or the field at +225.
I like Solomon Thomas there at +200, personally.
You also have to think that maybe the 49ers don't keep the pick.
Yep.
Well, if they trade it, does the field win?
Or
does
it get, or
is, is the bet it, null?
No, it depends on whoever moves up and takes whoever that they take.
Oh, okay.
That's why the field.
What's Mitchell Trubisky? Plus what?
+300.
Yeah, I would love that.
I'd probably take Trubisky.
Yeah, I would take Trubisky or Thomas. They're 25 on each and hope for the best and get some coin.
Last prop bet. I think this is the most intriguing prop bet here. Alabama players drafted in round 1, over or under 4.5.
I'm going under with all the recent news of Reuben Foster. I think Cam Robinson's almost a lock. Marlon Humphrey, O.J. Howard, those are the three for sure that I'm thinking right now.
So you got Humphrey, you got Howard, you got their defensive tackle.
Allen.
Jonathan Allen.
Cam Robinson.
I mean, that's tough. I would have to go over, even with Reuben Foster and his troubles. There's still a chance he goes in the first round late. I mean, I would have to go over on that.
Alabama is pretty much the Patriots, so I'm going to go with the over. So
I'd be interested to see, Josh. I don't know, you got it in front of you. Are there any prop bets in the amount of corners taken in the first round?
There are not.
There's not. That's my most intriguing. We've talked at at max, you know, how many corners are going to be taken. It's a huge, huge corner draft, you know.
One of the best we've seen.
Yeah, I don't know. Even with Sidney Jones, they're still talking Sidney Jones going in the second round.
Yep.
Even with his injuries.
You could see Sidney Jones still move up into the first, even with his injuries.
It's possible.
There was one last one on here, and it was how many players drafted from the SEC in round one, and it was 10.5 over under.
Wow, that's a lot of players. You'd have to go back and look at a mock here. SEC 10.
Yeah, because you got to think Bama's probably a lock for 4. LSU's probably a lock for 2 for sure with Fournette and Jamal. Yeah. Oh, and Tre'Davious. Yeah, so there's 7 that's for sure right there.
Florida's got some players that could potentially move up. Missouri's SEC now.
Yeah.
That obviously could be there.
Texas A&M, Texas number one A&M. Overall.
Yeah, it's going to be.
I think the over makes the most sense.
Yeah.
I would still say under 10's a lot. You're saying SEC is going to be a third of the draft.
I think so. You got Charles Harris too, Mizzou. He's almost, in my eyes, a lock for the first now.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all I have for that. What about you guys? You guys got any topics you want to bring up?
I want to talk about Adrian Peterson to the New Orleans Saints. I'm kind of indifferent on this signing. You know, right now they lost Tim Hightower. They obviously needed to bring in another back. Mark Ingram hasn't been able to stay healthy, be that legit number one. Like, I really don't know how to feel about AP. Like, do you guys think he's going to be that number one running back? Is Ingram going to move to that third down running back role, or what do you guys think is going on with that?
When it first happened, I was kind of like, well, why are they bringing in an older Mark Ingram? You know, that was my first thought. But now that I think about it more, it's they're bringing in one of the best running backs in NFL history who doesn't have to do anything. He can go in there and overachieve. There's no, you know, expectation for him going into Orleans. He's not expected to play every down. He's not expected to really do anything. Anything that he does, any success that he has, he can overachieve. If he goes out there and gets even close to 1,000 yards, he's overachieved behind Mark Ingram. If he goes out there and gets, you know, 6 to 8 touchdowns, he's overachieved. The more and more I think about it, it's a great pick, and it helps relieve the pressure of old man Drew Brees.
Me, personally, I would have rather just seen him re-sign with Minnesota at a lesser amount, kind of swallow your pride a little bit, and finish your career with the Minnesota Vikings. That's where you started. I would have liked to see him finish there. Now, with him going to the Saints, I personally think that Mark Ingram is still going to be, quote-unquote, the guy. We may see the hype train, like how it was with Arian Foster going to the Miami Dolphins. Obviously, we saw what happened there. Jay Ajayi kind of took over with the injuries acquired by Arian Foster. I'm not saying Adrian Peterson's going to get hurt or anything like that, but I just still think it's not going to be a cut and dry type of situation. So
now, the biggest question to me is, how does Mark Ingram deal with this? Mark Ingram has kind of been a head case his whole career. You know, his weight has fluctuated at times. His production has definitely fluctuated. He's had his injury. What do we see from Mark? Does this make him hungrier? Does he now go out and, you know, really prepare this offseason, prepare his body, go in physically and mentally ready to go? Or does he let the Adrian Peterson effect negatively affect him, and, you know, we see a less effective Mark Ingram even when he's healthy? That's the big question in my eyes.
Yeah, that's true too.
Overall, I like the move for the Saints, though. Like, I think they're going to address the defense in the draft. They got 2 first-round picks. They get 2 quality defensive players there, and then you're adding in Adrian Peterson with Drew Brees at the quarterback. He's not going to be facing those 8-9-man boxes like he was in Minnesota, because if they're doing that, Drew Brees is going to go over the top on them all day. Yeah, they probably need to get another wide receiver in there, but they got Ted Ginn, who's going to try to fill that Brandon Cooks role, go deep. He's got hands of stone, but still, you're not going to be able to put 8 guys in the box against Drew Brees, or he will kill you.
Yeah, and I would be shocked if the Saints don't go with their first-round picks, either DN, then DB, or DB, then DN, you know, vice versa. They're going to get a pass rusher and get someone on the back end.
All right. What other topics we got, Tim?
I want to go off here for a minute just on the three amigos, if you would, the players who made bad decisions before this draft, right? You have Gerrion Conley, the potential is sexual assault. It's been said by some to be a rape. We don't really know. There was, you know, people were reporting there wasn't a police report made at first. Now people are claiming to have the police report.
Have you heard some of the story that's coming out about it?
Go ahead and tell everyone.
There was a, so with Conley, the report is with the girl. She said that she walked into an elevator. Conley was in there. And he asked her if she wanted to partake in a foursome with him and three of his buddies. She then told him that he can partake in the sexual endeavors with himself and just them. And that's where the whole issue came up. So that's the whole ordeal.
The whole thing is weird. The whole thing is awkward. But beyond that, then we have Reuben Foster. We obviously his diluted sample, him getting kicked out of the combine. You have Jabril Peppers, his diluted, his I drank 8 to 10 gallons of water, and that's the reason why. I don't understand where the listen beyond making bad decisions, right? Beyond making anything, making more of this than it has to be. These guys have worked their whole entire lives. Some of them coming from terrible situations. Busted their ass their whole entire lives for one day. For one fucking day in the NFL draft. All you have to do before the combine is be clean for a month. You want to get weed out of your system? You want to get pretty much any drug out of your system? Be clean for 1 month. Go to the NFL combine, do you, and then be clean. Stay in your house. There's two rules. This is what I texted you guys earlier today. There are two rules for NFL draft prospects. Don't physically touch anybody who doesn't want to be physically touched in any sort of manner, whether it be sexually or physically hurting someone. Don't do that. Secondly, don't do drugs. That's it. That's all you have to do, and you are a multi-millionaire. Reuben Foster, you have cost yourself millions of dollars. Gerrion Conley, you have cost yourself millions of dollars because you can't just take a couple of months after everything you've worked for. I don't want to hear the, oh, well, they're only this age, or they're still young, they're immature. That's bullshit, and that's an excuse. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. I will never, you know, I can kind of buy into the fact a little bit. You know, we don't know what NFL players experience. We don't know what it's like for them to go out and have to deal with this fame or deal with this or deal with that. You're going up to the NFL draft the only day, the most important day of your life. Go home. Go home, sit in your house, and wait to be a millionaire. That's all you have to do. And these fucking schmucks can't do that. It's ridiculous. It's asinine. I have no who's it? Caleb Brantley. Florida is another one. He's probably going in the second round, but he had some first round grades there for a while as well. You know, I saw today that he was offered a settlement in his case where, you know, the rumor had it was, you know, he made an advance on a girl. A girl ended up shoving him, so he punched her in the fucking face. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. Don't go out. Don't go to the bar. Don't put yourself in those situations. Go home and wait to be a millionaire. It's not rocket science. And I have no sympathy for these guys whatsoever. Whether it comes out that Gerrion Conley did nothing wrong, whether it comes out that I have no sympathy for them. Stay at home and don't get in trouble. It's that simple. It's easy.
I agree with pretty much everything you said, Tim. The only one I kind of feel bad for, and it's kind of reaching a little bit, is Conley. Because really, it's just she said, he said. We saw the same thing with Lael Collins. He's a guard for the Cowboys now, where he had first-round grades, and he had to go back to interview with the cops, and he was found, like, nothing happened. He had no involvement in the incident, but he still went undrafted. The same thing could happen to Conley. I think Conley was a lock for the first round. Most people had him as the second or third best cornerback in this draft. And now there's a good chance that dude's going to slide and lose millions of dollars, like Tim said. But the Reuben Foster and Jabril Peppers, it doesn't look good. when you have a diluted sample. Yeah, you might have drank too much water, but still, it just doesn't look good. You know the day you are testing. You know the day, and you still found a way to mess it up. It's not good. And everything else at the combine for Foster was a complete train wreck, so most teams aren't going to believe him. And yeah. I probably wouldn't either. I'd be like, you have issues. I'm not going to waste my first-round pick on you.
Yeah, with Peppers, it's kind of difficult because you got to remember this is the first time, I believe, mm-hmm. right, that he's the only one that's tested at DB and at linebacker. And could he have become that dehydrated to the point where he's drinking 8 to 10 water bottles before he's getting drug tested? Possibly.
Did he say 8 to 10 water bottles?
Water bottles. Night before the draft.
Yeah. The combine.
Combine.
So, I mean, I don't know. It's a very weird situation.
And I want a better, I guess, understanding of what the NFL, when they say a diluted sample, I mean, is it something, listen, teams aren't going to pass on him if it's something where if he actually drank 8 to 10 bottles of water, that it could be a diluted sample and okay.
Well, there is. The fact
that everyone laughed at him and said, hey, that's a bullshit response proves, come on, man.
Everything I've read, people say that you have to try to dilute your sample. Like, it's very hard to get that result in a test. Read online from like probation officers and everything like that, and they said pretty much you had to drink a gallon of water within like 6 hours of the test for that to happen.
He would have been better off, in my opinion, he would have been better off saying, hey, I was at a party a month before the draft, blah, 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 this happened, whatever. Listen, weed doesn't have the same, if you just would have said it was marijuana, weed doesn't have the same, you know, negative connotation as it used to. Hey, I was in Colorado, blah, 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 after the national championship game, we partied, blah, 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 this happened. Come on, be a man about it.
Yeah.
Be a man, not, oh, no, I didn't do anything wrong. No, me? Oh, I have no idea how this happened. It makes you look foolish, and it makes you look like a liar.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's all we got for that. Let's move on to the NFL schedule.
Oh, yeah.
How do you guys like that? We are going to talk, I don't know, some games, some of the big games that are coming up. One game that I want to talk about is going to be, let's start off with week number one. We have the Seattle Seahawks versus the Green Bay Packers. And what did one player say to another?
All right, so I have it here. It was one, where are we at here? I'm sorry. Haha, Clinton Dix told Eddie Cheeseburger, Eddie Lacy, you better on Twitter, you better make sure your helmet fits and your chin strap tight.
I love that.
I love it too.
These two teams have kind of had the rivalry as of late. We saw that crazy catch on that Monday night game where the Packers kind of got screwed in that game with the replacement
refs. Great call by the replacement refs.
They've had awesome playoff matchups. We've seen the Packers completely blow a big-time lead at Seattle. It's going to be an awesome game. It's at Lambeau. The fans are going to be nuts, and it's just two badass NFC teams going at it week one. And you don't want to go into the season being 0-1. And one of these two juggernauts are going to be there.
I love it even more. You know, obviously two former NFL teammates, two former college teammates. I believe they were both at Alabama at some time, correct, together?
Yep.
I believe. I mean, that was – I love it. I love it. You know, and it's not over the top where it's, you know, I'm going to blow out your knee, I'm going to kill you type stuff. It's just, hey, better buckle up, sweetheart, because I'm coming for you. I love it.
Are there any other games that you guys are looking forward to?
Absolutely. Week 7. Falcons at the Patriots.
Oh, yeah.
Going back into the Super Bowl replay there. I absolutely love it.
I'm going to go to week one. We've seen this the last few years. The Sunday night football game, the New York Giants at Dallas Cowboys. It's been a good game the last few years. Big-time rivalry. Both big-time markets. And I want to see Dallas finally beat the Giants. We saw them lose. The Cowboys lost the Giants twice last year in the regular season. Both teams have improved. And in all honesty, I'm anxious to see how Dak Prescott plays.
Week 14, we have the Philadelphia Eagles at the LA Rams. Me personally, I just want to see Jared Goff versus Jared Goff. Or, I'm sorry, Carson Wentz versus Jared Goff.
Yeah, so it'll be the first time that we see one and two go off against each other there from last year's draft. So, yeah, definitely should be interesting. Mine, I have I've highlighted the Broncos and Raiders, week 12. Saw that. I love that matchup, obviously, to division opponents. I also have the Patriots and Steelers, week 15. You know, two notorious. They met at the AFC Championship game last year, right? Patriots destroyed them, so I would love to see you know, where those two teams are come week 15, and you know, are they vying for a number one seed?
I'm going to go back to week one. This might sound a little weird. Oakland Raiders at the Tennessee Titans. Both of these teams kind of came out last year and overperformed, in all honesty. I want to see Derek Carr come back. I want to see what those two first-round picks for the Titans perform like. Really think they're going to get Mariota another weapon, helping that secondary. And I want to see what these two up-and-coming teams in the AFC can do to each other.
I want to see, I'm sure this will interest Joshua as well, week 8, midway through the season, Tampa Bay Bucks against the Carolina Panthers. Have the Panthers rebound and become that powerhouse that we're used to. Are the Buccaneers making that drastic step with Jameis Winston and Mike Evans, potentially with a new running back? What is that game going to hold mid-season? Division on the line. What's that all about?
Yeah, that'd be a great game to watch as well. And then I believe Tampa actually goes to Atlanta. I forget what week it is. I would have to look it up. But that would be a great game for us to go to in our yearly trip. Just throwing it out there.
I would like that.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all. It's going to be a great NFL season. Obviously, I'm very interested. The Chicago Bears, after having a horrendous schedule to start, end up at Lambeau Field week 4. They could be trying to get their first win of the season. They could be trying to legitimize themselves as a 500 team. That'll be very fun, obviously, as always.
Yeah, on a week-to-week basis, especially opening week, there's two things I like. Seeing the Colts win and the Bears lose. Falcons at the Bears week 1. Oh, it's going to be glorious. I really hope Matt Ryan, Julio Jones drop a 40-burger on the Bears and just make everyone so upset. And I'm just going to put 670 the score on and listen to all the Bears fans cry, especially after they just selected a quarterback in the first round.
So let me ask you, are you a 670 fan or a 1,000 fan?
Normally 670, but I don't listen to it too much anymore.
No one cares about that. There's no 670, there's no 1,000, there's only Pony Keg Sports.
All right, any other topics that we want to bring up, discuss?
Absolutely, I got some for you, Joshua. Let's talk about the people who have just been conditionally reinstated by the NFL. That was a big Martavis one. Bryant. Pittsburgh Steelers, obviously a very valuable asset for them. What are your thoughts about him being potentially reinstated?
Yeah, it's a big, big move and big news for the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers needed that extra weapon to go alongside Antonio Brown. They lost Marcus Wheaton in the offseason going to the Chicago Bears. And they just don't have that number two wide receiver to go along with Antonio Brown. With Martavis Bryant coming back, if he's back 100% and not going to get suspended again, and if he's in good shape, then that will be a good thing for him, Antonio Brown, and the team.
What round, potentially, would you draft one Martavis Bryant in fantasy football?
It's tough because we're in a keepers league, and we have this idiot that loves Martavis Bryant, and he wants to use him as a keeper in a five-person you keep. Whatever, you keep five people and he wants them as a keeper and he's auctioning them off like that. Me personally, he's not a top five round pick. He is maybe, if you're getting a little bit deeper into it, you could reach at a 7 or an 8, but you're reaching. And you're reaching for the Martavis Bryant of 2 years ago.
I like that. You can hear what Tom thinks about Martavis Bryant at Pony Keg Tom, because I'm not going to give you the opportunity to talk right now, Tom. Let's go to the other one who's reinstated conditionally, Arizona linebacker Darrell Washington. What are your thoughts on him playing in 2017?
3 or 4 years ago, he was a top inside linebacker in the NFL. Had issues with drugs, I believe. He stayed on the Cardinals. He's going to be 31, I believe, come the time the season starts. Hope he's turned his life around, and that's definitely a big need for the Cardinals. They need help at inside backer, and hopefully he's can perform at that level they've been used to having him at.
And if you want to hear Josh's thoughts on Darryl Washington, make sure to follow him at PonyKeg Sports. He can tell you all about it on Twitter. Let's go to two things that may affect the NFL draft. You're hearing that Tom Coughlin loves Deshaun Watson, and there's rumors now peaking that the Jaguars are thinking about taking him at number four.
That'd be awesome.
It would be something else if they took a quarterback at that spot. Deshaun Watson, like I've said over and over again, I think he's the most ready quarterback if you had to throw somebody in there and say, hey, kid, good luck. I don't think that's the way it should go, but I think if you're going to take any one of these quarterbacks and that is what you're going to do, he's the one that you can do it with.
A domino that everyone's waiting to fall is what will happen to LeGarrette Blount. Talks between him and the New York Football Giants are getting hot. Obviously, that could have big impacts on the draft. What are your thoughts about LeGarrette Blount being a New York Giant?
That's probably one of the better spots for him. I really wanted him back in New England, in all honesty. We saw what he did last year. I think he had 18 touchdowns, led the league in touchdowns for running back spot. And if he goes to the Giants, he's going to remain fantasy relevant. But there's not many other places where I'd feel the same about him.
There's two other spots that I can see that he could possibly go. Actually, I'm going to say three. And it's going to be the Green Bay Packers,
yeah,
the Kansas City Chiefs, even though they kind of have a running back in where that is kind of like him. But I just think that they may think he's an upgrade, even though they say Andy Reid says how much he loves Ware. And the other one is the Oakland Raiders. Those are the three. I don't know, and I don't think the deal with Marshawn Lynch is going to get done. Marshawn Lynch wants $5 or $6 million a year. Oakland says that they're going to pay him $2 to $3 million a year. I think they're too far apart, and you know, you can't pay the man in Skittles, so it's just not going to work that way.
Will be very interesting to see what happens there. The last thing that I have for you, I believe, is on the team that everyone hates except for one small part of the country, the New England Patriots. So, Field Yates put out there sometime today, yesterday, I don't know. The Patriots used their 2015 sixth-round pick on tight end A.J. Derby, traded him a year later for 2017 fifth-rounder, and then traded that pick for Mike Gillisley to take away from, obviously, a division rival in the Buffalo Bills. Not only that, I just want to read to you that between restructuring Danny Amendola's contract and adding Mike Gillisley, the Patriots still increased their salary cap. They still have more space now after doing all that. Thoughts on the Patriots? Thoughts on how they handle their business?
I hate everything the Patriots do, but that's the benchmark. That's what every team is striving to be like, and it just seems like every move they make was made by a genius, and that's what Bill Belichick is. He's the best coach the NFL has ever seen. He's one of the best GMs the NFL has ever seen, and dude's just a straight-up genius.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say LeGarrette Blount is not going to go back to New England, and now you go out, you get Rex Burkhead, who can catch the ball out of the backfield, plus he can run the ball. You have Mike Gillisley, who proved that he can run the ball last year when given the opportunity, even in split time. In split time, he actually ran the ball better when he was the only, compared to the only time when he was a lead rusher. Is that fair to say?
Yep.
In a timeshare like that, and if he's going to overtake the LeGarrette Blount role, we could really see Mike Gillisley, his fantasy, I don't know, fantasy outlook going through the roof. I mean, we had LeGarrette Blount, 17, 18 touchdowns last year. Mike Gillisley, if he gets half of those, 9 touchdowns, that could be very fantasy relevant.
Absolutely. I just wanted to touch on it, go back to your Adrian Peterson, obviously, signing, and you guys talking about Marshawn Lynch and will he sign with the Raiders. John Clayton reported that with Adrian Peterson getting $3.5 million a year, the market is now set, and Marshawn Lynch, in John Clayton's opinion, will accept $3.5 million with the Raiders. So that'll be an interesting thing to watch. The last thing, obviously, it is draft time. Since 2002, one team has selected the most Pro Bowlers, a combined 17, more than any other team. Can you tell me who that is since 2002?
2002.
Yeah, so you're talking the last 15 years. One team has 17 combined Pro Bowlers drafted. Most in the NFL. Let me get your guys' guesses.
I'm going to go with the Ravens.
I'm going to go with the Bengals.
You are both wrong. Those are both terrible guesses. The Dallas Cowboys have drafted 17 combined Pro Bowlers since 2002. Everyone's favorite senile grandfather, Jerry Jones. Obviously, apparently he knows what he's doing sometime.
Just can't win playoff games.
One question. With Martavis Bryant being reinstated, is there hope at the doors, if he's knocking, Josh Gordon going to be reinstated as well?
Very good question. It's going to be hard for the NFL to do it. It's going to be really hard for Goodell to pull that trigger. I know Josh is going to say yes, no doubt about it. I feel like that they're going to probably put him on an 8-game suspension this year. First 8 games he's out, give him that potential to prove that he's okay, and then I see him playing the second half of 2017.
I'm going to predict Josh Gordon and Justin Blackmon are both reinstated.
Justin Blackman's alive?
He's like 305 pounds, but he's got a chance.
He's going to play guard.
He's going to do DDP yoga, get back into shape, and lead the Jaguars. That's how you say it, right?
It's pronounced Jaguar, I believe.
Wow. To the promised land.
I have not heard any news on Justin Blackman.
No, I think he's dead.
No, he's not dead. He's still relevant, but not in fantasy-wise. So, I don't know. I think Josh Gordon may. Maybe a 4-game suspension, 6-game. I think 8-game would be too much, but I think he'll get some sort of suspension, and then we'll see him out there on the field.
I have one more question for you guys. Rumors, it's come out here this week with it being draft week. The Bengals and A.J. McCarron. They're saying that, right? So they're talking about that, saying that the Bengals are only willing to trade him for a first-round draft pick.
Hey, what? That's the value of quarterbacks.
If there's a need for quarterback and you're out there needing one and you have A.J. McCarron and people are like, hey, I need a quarterback, can I get him? Oh, yeah, give me a first-round pick. And if you don't want to give me your first-round pick, give me a second-round pick. Give me something, and I'm not going to take anything lower than that.
It'll be interesting to see. The other thing that interests me, obviously, we talked about Sidney Jones and during Tom's mock draft. Sidney Jones, Ian Rappaport reported Dr. Anderson sent out to 32 teams that lays out a 4 to 6 month timeline for as many regarded the second best corner in the draft before his Achilles injury. Thoughts on where he gets drafted?
I think he'll be in the second. Some team late in the second will take him. But I think he will for sure be a day two guy in the second or third.
Yeah, as much as I want to see him jump up into the first round, regardless of injury, just because his talent is so good, I think a second round pick is where he fits. So
see what happens.
Did you see that Jalen Smith, his knee is coming out along great? And the Cowboys are very optimistic about
that would be
his
huge
year next year.
For them if he can be a 3/4 of what he was supposed to be.
Oh, it would be pretty much an extra draft pick for this year.
For sure.
Yeah, because if he didn't get hurt, he was going in the top 5 last year's draft. Plus, they have Zeke Elliott. So you get a draft return of Zeke Elliott and Jalen Smith. Ooh-wee!
All right. Anything else?
Nope.
Tom?
Nope.
All right, that's all we have for you guys. Again, draft. That's all we can say. Coming up. If you guys have any questions, comments, or concerns, hit us up on Twitter at PonyKeg Sports, at PonyKeg Tom, at
PonyKeg Tim.
Oh, we changed it. Oh,
I made one just for you guys to get to hear all the happenings and all the dumb shit that pops into my head on a daily basis.
If you guys have any questions, please email us, PonyKegSports@gmail.com. Please check out our website, PonyKegSports.com. You guys can also check out CleatGeeks.com. Check out all their articles, everything like that. We have our podcast on their articles. And you guys can also tweet them at CleatGeeks. Let them know that we're the ones that sent you.
And they have the 2018 preliminary noodling tournaments. That's the catfish fishing tournaments. They have those live. So make sure to watch those preliminary events.
All right, guys. That's all we got for you. Thanks.